scriptures with you, and we're just going to look at them, set our eyes on them. If you put your eyes on them and hear them, it'll get in you. It'll make a difference. It'll impact. If you just listen casually, you're likely to miss it. All right? So if you pay attention, you're going to notice in these different scriptures, there's going to be, one's going to be tying in with the other. You're going to see themes. You're going to see similar words used over and over again, phrases. And it'll make a difference in how you receive it and what you can do with it. All right? So first I'm going to present a problem and a situation, and then we're going to go look at the solution. And we're going to find out that the solution's you. All right?
Yeah.
So open your Bible. I will be reading out of the King James. If you can look at that or do something about that or follow along the best you can. Go to Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30. We'll start with the 21st verse. And it says, "For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear." And the number one, for a servant when he reigns. The earth is disquieted. It's troubled and it trembles and shakes and quakes because of servants reigning. Servants shouldn't be reigning. Go to Ecclesiastes 10. And we'll see something similar in verse 5. Ecclesiastes 10:5. "There is an evil which I've seen under the sun, as an error which proceeds from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth." It's perverted. It's upside down. The ruler should be on the horse. The servants ought to be walking. All right? So go to Psalm 82. And there's a verse in Psalm 82 that Jesus quoted. And he was speaking it when the Pharisees were giving him trouble. And it says in Psalm 82, verse 6, Jesus said this, and also it's in this psalm here, "I have said, you are gods, and all of you children of the Most High." So the children of the Most High, he calls them gods. Yeah. Rulers. That would make sense. Everyone here that's born of the Father and born of His Word would be born of Him, of His nature. He's a God. He's a ruler. So what does he give birth to? Gods. Not mere men. We once were mere men. That old man we put off, and we put on the new man, and the new man is in the image and the likeness of God. So if you back up in that psalm, you'll see, we'll just start at verse 1. "God stands in the congregation of the mighty." The mighty's you. "He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course." We just read in Proverbs 30 that the earth is troubled when a servant reigns. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. The Hebrew says moved. Things are out of order. They need to be put back in order. "I have said, you are gods, and all of you children of the Most High." You track them with me?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Matthew 6. Because we're going to fix this thing. You can fix this in your own life. It starts with ourselves. We have to take order and take charge of our own life so that we can affect everything else. Everything starts with ourselves and our families and our community and just keeps going from there. All right? Now, Matthew 6, Jesus has got a long teaching here going on. And in verse 24, he's saying that you can't serve two masters. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve Mammon. Mammon is a wicked spirit that uses earthly possessions to control people. So you can serve a wicked spirit or you can serve God. You can't serve both. And then he goes on to talk about possessions and not worrying about them and not taking thought for them. Well, the problem is taking thought for something is whatever you're thinking on, you're going to serve it. You'll ultimately end up doing that. Your decisions, your emotions, everything's going to come from your thoughts, which came from words. So let's get our thoughts from our Father. Yeah? Down in verse 33, he says, you're not serving mammon. You're not serving mammon. You're serving God. You're not looking for all these things. But rather, 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When you put first things first, everything's in order. Seek first the kingdom of God. So let's look at this. Kingdom of God and his righteousness. Kingdom. The word kingdom there? King, yes. Exactly. It also, in the Greek, has to do with royalty. It also has to do with the rulership and the realm, the place of God. All right? And his righteousness. When we put on the new man and became a new creation, we put off iniquity and put on righteousness. So seek that new nature. Who are you? I said, you are God's. You're children of the Most High. So seek first the kingdom of God. Seek that royalty. Our royalty has to do with the character of the king. Are you acting like one? Are you thinking like one? Are you living like one? At least going there? All right. Go to Romans 5. And we'll go to the 17th verse. And we'll see another aspect of this. Romans 5, 17. If by one man's offense death reigned. That one man was Adam. He did one thing wrong and death took over. Death reigned. Death is in charge. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
So, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Receive the abundance of grace. Receive his free favor. Receive the gift of righteousness. And reign in life. Amen. Reign there has to do with ruling as a king.
That's right.
Ruling as a king. To rule as a king. Exercising kingly power and control and influence in life. Not in death, in life. We rule in life over death. We don't rule in death. That's what the enemy does. All right? So go to Luke 17. We're going to locate this kingdom. Luke 17. And verse 20. And he says, the latter part of that verse, in verse 20, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. Neither shall they say, look here or look there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Amen. We live from the inside out.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you're living from the outside in, the enemy will be leading you around with a hook in your nose.
That's right.
Yeah. We live from the inside out. Matthew 16, we'll go there now. Hope you like scripture because we're going to be going to it. I don't like it, I love it. Matthew 16, And where should we go? We'll start in 17. And this has to do when Jesus was asking his disciples what men were saying about him. And they were given these different answers. And then Simon, Peter, spoke up in verse 16. In 16 he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter." And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, Simon, Peter, got a revelation from the Father of Jesus. Now he knows who he is and what he's doing. He's got a revelation of his character, of his identity, who he is. And then Jesus turns around and says, "You're Peter, Simon. You're not Simon, you're Peter. You're a rock, you're solid. You're firm." So there was a revelation of identity there. Mm-hmm. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Revelation of identity. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And what does it go on to say? The gates of hell won't prevail against it. And, verse 19, "And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom." Amen. Kingdom's got some keys.
Yes.
Amen. Why won't the gates of hell prevail against you? You got the key. You've got the key. I'll give you the keys of heaven, of the kingdom of heaven. You got the keys of kingdom. You got the keys of royalty. You've got the keys to rule with. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You. I'm using the King James. It actually says thou. That means each individual. Thou is singular. Ye is plural. You. Whatever you lock. Whatever you forbid. Whatever you loose. Whatever you open up. Whatever you unlock. All right. So let's go to Ecclesiastes 8. In Ecclesiastes 8, verse 4, I'll get it. Come here. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 4. "Where the word of a king is, there is power." What's the king saying? How does he bind and loose? With what he says. With what you say. So your words, how you speak, how you talk, when you mean to and when you don't, when you're praying and when you're walking around, when you're working, when you're whatever. You live from the inside out. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Are you loosing good things in your life? Or are you binding good things from your life? Are you loosing bad things? What are you doing? What are you doing with your words? Where the word of a king is, there is power. This is serious. Words matter. If you go to Job is right before the Psalms, in chapter 6. Job's in all this trouble. And he's speaking. And he says in Job chapter 6, verse 24. He says, "Teach me and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand where I have erred." How forcible are right words? Right words have force. They got some force behind them. What does a force do? Makes things happen. Changes things. All right? So let's flip back over the Proverbs. We'll go to 16. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And before we read in verse 6, in chapter 16, there's out of the Greek text into the Septuagint, translated in English in Proverbs 17:14. I don't see it in my regular Bible, but coming from the Greek text, it says, "Rightful rule gives power to words." That's Proverbs 17:14. If you got just a regular King James or something, you won't see it in there. But from the Greek text, rightful rule gives power to words. It's interesting. Proverbs 16:10 says, "A divine sentence is in the lips of the king, and his mouth transgresses not in judgment." Verse 12, "It's an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaks right." Kingdom, righteousness, king, right, rightful rule, power, words. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. The Amplified in verse 10 says, "Divinely directed decisions are on the lips of the king. His mouth should not transgress in judgment." Divinely directed. So Jesus is the King of Kings. He's giving us what to say. And those divinely directed words are how we rule. And our lips are not going to transgress in judgment. We're not going to say something about anything that he didn't say. So what did he say about your life? Just think of our redemption. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. We're redeemed from poverty, sickness, disease, trouble, condemnation, harassment of the enemy, limitations. Yeah. So, what are we going to speak? We're going to speak life and health and abundance and peace. Yeah, we're going to agree with him. Divinely directed decisions are on the lips of the king. Yeah? All right, let's go to another part here. And I'm going to say this. Where is this now? We're going to go to Daniel. Now, the king's decree, whatever the king says, cannot be reversed. Once you speak and it's gone, it's set. It's established. What you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, it's out there. Everyone here has probably been hurt by words. Someone said something that hurt you, and you can feel it. Am I right? And everyone here has probably been the one that hurt. Thank God for the blood. Yeah. The king's decree cannot be reversed. You can't take it back. Daniel 6, verse 8. "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which alters not." Another, the Hebrew says, or the footnote, it says, instead of alters not, passes away. It doesn't pass away. Remember Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." They don't change. Once the king says it, it's set. Down in verse 12, the latter part, just the last phrase, "The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which alters not." Verse 15, latter part, "That no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed." That's three times. What the king says can't be changed. Go to Esther. Esther's right before Job. After Nehemiah. If you go to Esther, the first chapter, you're going to see this again. Esther 1, 19. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and Medes, that it be not altered. Now flip over to chapter 8. Now, if you're not familiar with Esther and that book, what happened is you had a wicked man named Haman who was under the king, and he had some problems. And he didn't like Mordecai. Mm-hmm. Mordecai being a Jew. So what does he do? He gets the king's ring and talks the king into establishing a law so he could annihilate the Jews. And he made up some story about them messing around. So the king lets him do it. Well, Esther's the queen in the palace. She's a Jew. Mordecai's a Jew. And Mordecai's saying to Esther, do something. And she's like, oh, I can't just go in there. He'll take my head off. You can't just talk to the king like that. Right? So in chapter 8, I'll just look at verse 2. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. So now Mordecai's got the king's ring. If you know anything about a ring, it's got to do with signet ring, signature. He's got the power of attorney. He's got the king's authority to sign the king's name to a document. He took it from Haman, gave it to Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite and his device that he devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. Golden scepter. The father said to Jesus in Hebrews 1, when he raised him up from the dead, he says, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Golden scepter. Gold represents righteousness. He held out the golden scepter towards Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, if it please the king and I found favor in his sight. Remember Romans 5:17? Receive the abundance of grace, the abundance of favor, and the gift of righteousness. She now has permission to reign. Yeah. And the thing seemed right before the king. He liked it. And I, in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters. Well, we've just read over and over again, you can't reverse. You can't reverse it. The letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. And how can I endure to see the evil that shall come on unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him have they hanged upon the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Verse 8, write ye also for the Jews as it pleases you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Well, Haman made a law. It can't be reversed. Now Esther's saying, reverse it. You can't. But she could put a higher law in place. Let the Jews defend themselves. And that's what you find out as you read on. A higher law. So if something's set, if you said something you shouldn't have said, repent, wipe it out with the blood of Jesus, and say something higher. If you spoke death, say life. Right? Peter denied Jesus. What happened? He came back, and Jesus said, do you love me? Yes, I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep. First he's denying him when he's being going to be crucified and tried and all that, and then he's saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. He put a higher law in motion. All right? The king's decree cannot be reversed. What happened at the fall? Adam let the enemy into the earth. Is the curse still here? Are we redeemed from the curse?
Yes.
Well, which one is it? It's both.
It's a higher law.
It's a higher law. Higher law. We have the authority to exercise higher law.
Jesus.
All right, let's go to Job. Job 22. Remember, we say what our king said to say. Divinely directed decisions. Job 22. And verse 21. Acquaint now yourself with him, with the Father. Be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto you. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth. And lay up his words in thine heart. The kingdom of God's within you. Take his words, lay them up in your heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. All right? Verse 23. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up and shall put away iniquity far from your tabernacles. When you put away iniquity, you've got righteousness. 24. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust and gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Well, that's good news. Gold like dust. Just keeps coming. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy gold, and you shall have plenty of silver. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shall lift up thy face unto God. Delight in the Almighty. That's a sermon by itself. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart.
That's
27. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. You're going to make a prayer, and he's going to hear you? Well, he hears the prayers of the righteous, and he hears you when you speak and pray for his will. That's the confidence that we have that he hears us. 1 John 5 tells us that. 28. You shall also decree a thing and it shall be established unto you. Established. It can't be reversed. It's set. Established. It's set. Firm. It's fixed. You shall also decree a thing and it shall be established unto you, and the light shall shine upon your ways. So we talked about putting a higher law in place. Well, look at 29. When men are cast down, you say, lift up. Don't say cast down. Don't say, oh, you're defeated. You're in bad shape, brother. Lift up. When men are cast down, say lift up. Let the weak say, I am strong.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that one? Let the weak say, I am strong. Same thing. Same thing. All right. Now, one thing that kings do is kings, they rule, they legislate, they judge, dominate, also fight wars. There's battles. Kings need to defend their territory from enemies. So if you have to, you got to fight. So for us, it's a war of words. Because the enemy out there, he's firing in thoughts. And the thoughts that he puts into our minds, if you're conscious of them and you recognize it, it's a war. Especially if you want to keep your eyes and your heart and your thoughts fixed on the right things. Now, the first war of words that I know anything about was Lucifer. Is everyone familiar with Lucifer and how he fell? Isaiah 14, and Ezekiel 28 spells it out pretty good. Isaiah 14, Lucifer attacked the throne of God. and says, I'm going to this, I'm going to that, I'm going to that, I'm going to set myself up above the throne of God, I'm going to be like the Most High. He was using words. Problem, though. He came against his Creator, his Lord, someone stronger. And when there was a clash of words, the Lord just simply said, no, you're going to be brought down to hell. And Jesus spoke of that, said, I beheld Satan like lightning fall from heaven. Crash. He just went down. The proverb says he overthrows the words of the treacherous. Well, that was treachery. And he got cast down fast. What did it do? It destroyed everything. That's why the earth was without form and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But then God said, he didn't look and say, oh, it's so dark out here. Oh, look at this chaos. He said, light.
Hallelujah.
Light stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death. Wealth is stronger than poverty. Health is stronger than sickness. Don't let the enemy tell you otherwise.
That's right.
Righteousness thinking is stronger than condemnation. Don't let them beat you over the head. Say, you blew it again. Forget it. So we need to fight. Because we've got an enemy that's active in attempting to control your thoughts by feeding them to you. They call them fiery darts. And you feed your thoughts and images through things you see outside. That's why if you're living from the outside in, and all the stuff you see in the world, all the images and the things that people say and the way the society is going, politics and the schools and just, you name it. It's going to affect your thoughts and affect your images if you let it. And if you can get in your thoughts, eventually it'll get in your mouth. And if it gets in your mouth, you're now using your authority that the Father gave you, and you're letting the enemy feed you so that you are speaking his words, and consequently something he cannot do, he's doing through you. No. Don't let him do that. So go to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, verse 3. We're going to fight this war of words and win.
Amen.
Proverbs 13, 3 says, he that keeps his mouth keeps his life. Keep, guard, protect it. He that keeps his mouth keeps his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. So when the enemy is putting pressure on, don't open wide your lips. David said in the Psalm, 39 or something like that, I think it's 39, I will take heed to my words when the enemy is before me. Something like that. In other words, when the enemy's right there and he's putting the pressure on, watch what you say. Proverbs 21 and the 23rd verse. He says, whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. You want to keep your soul? Your mind, your thoughts, your emotions, your will, your imagination, your intellect, the way you think, the way you see, the way you feel. Keep your mouth, keep your tongue, and you'll keep your soul from trouble. Guard it. Guard it. Make sure the right things are in there and the wrong things aren't. Back up to 18. 18th chapter, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The word power there in the Hebrew is hand. Whatever your tongue's holding, you're going to eat it. The tongue is the hand of the spirit. That's how we take things. Death and life is in the hand of the tongue. What are you grabbing with your tongue? What are you saying? You get it? Whatever your tongue's holding, that's what you can eat. Make sense? Proverbs 6. Verse 2. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Snared. What you say, if you say the wrong thing, is a snare. It'll hook you. You're snared. And then it'll catch you. The enemy tries to catch us with giving us thoughts, so we speak words that'll snare us. If you go over to 12. 12 verse 13. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Just is another way of righteous. It's another way of saying righteous. The righteous will come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense or reward of a man's hands. There's your hand again. Your tongue shall be rendered unto him. The wicked is snared by the transgression of lips. Only say what Jesus says to say. Amen. So how do we know what he said? Just spend time feeding on the word. Spend time in prayer. If it's not righteous, don't speak it. If you don't know, find out. If you speak the wrong thing, repent. So there's a snare. But there's good news in Psalm 91. Psalm 91. What if you spoke the wrong thing? What if you got snared? What if you got caught? Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, we're going to put a higher law in motion here. I will say of the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler.
Amen.
You speak something wrong, he'll get you out of it.
Thank you, Lord.
That's right.
And from the noisome pestilence, the deadly pestilence. There's a result for speaking bad things. It's not good. But he'll wipe that out. No weapon formed against you will prosper, and he'll deliver you from the snare. He'll rescue you if you speak wrong words, if you go to him. Lord, I repent. Help. What do I say now? All right, let's go over to the New Testament and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm just going to keep looking at the same thing over and over again, and we're all going to get it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, third verse. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Flesh, senses. We're walking in a sense-ruled place. We have senses. We need to use them. It's smart to. Just don't let them use you. We're in physical bodies, but we don't use physical weapons. Back in chapter 6, he says the weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left. Yep. Weapons of righteousness. That's stronger than a weapon of iniquity. Yeah? For the weapons of our warfare, verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, that's what happened to Lucifer. He tried to exalt himself, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bam! Down. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Sounds like a lot of work, doesn't it? Well, I was realizing something as I was looking at this. Yeah, we can actively check our thoughts and come against every thought, and that's true, we should. But also, we can just keep renewing our minds to the Word. And those other thoughts, they just They just go away. And if it does rise up, it's obvious. Why? Because it's such a contradiction.
That's right.
Now, I like what the Murdoch says here. The Murdoch translation is translated out of the Aramaic. And it says in verse 4 that our weapons are the power of God. Instead of saying mighty through God, it says our weapons are the power of God. Our weapons are His power. We use our authority and His power as our weapon. But it goes on to say, it says here, the weapons of warfare, they're the power of God to subdue rebellious castles. Our weapons are the power of God to subdue rebellious castles. A castle is a fortified house that's built to keep an enemy out. Well, what's a rebellious castle? We are supposed to have a castle in our thinking to keep the enemy out. But what if it's perverted? It's keeping the right thing out. That's no good. We need to go in there and take the castle back. Put the word in. The weapons of our warfare. How do you fight this? How did Jesus do it in the wilderness? Yeah. That's how He did it. Every time the enemy brought up a thing, oh, do this, do that, you know, cast yourself down off the temple and worship Me and all that stuff. He said, no, it's written in the quote Scripture. He was just casting it down. And what did the devil do? He left him for a season. He had no hope. All right, 1 Timothy 6. Where should I start? All right, we'll go to verse 8. 1 Timothy 6, 8. Now remember back when we started, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. That's set in first things first. Yep. Everyone knows rich is not a bad word.
That's right.
Rich in the Bible doesn't mean sinner, doesn't mean hell, doesn't mean God doesn't love you. And it's not pious. It's not proper. It's like any other thing. It depends how it's used.
Yeah.
Right? Power, it can be used for good or evil. Water, it can nourish your body and give you the moisture you need in your body, or it can flood out a field or a house or whatever. Fire, same thing. You can heat with it or you can burn something down. Money, it can be used for good or evil. All right, so 6:8, and having food and clothing, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Why? Verse 10, for the love of money, it's the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, so covetousness, the love of all of money, and craving those possessions, going after them. That'll seduce you away from the faith. And pierce themselves through with many sorrows. The proverb says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich without sorrow.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Verse 11, now He's speaking to you. But you, O man of God, flee these things and follow after, number one, righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Pursue, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called and have professed a good profession. Profession. The word profession is confession. Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our profession, our confession. What does that mean? Out of the Greek, it means you agree with what He said and say that. It's not just anything you say. You don't just make up stuff. You're either going to see it in here, or you're going to see it in here long enough it starts coming out of here because he spoke to you. Pastor was telling me just before we started the service how right before you went to Cancun, the Lord says about you can't believe for a month. He spoke to you out of the teaching, right? And you acted on it, and here you are back from a holiday. Otherwise, would you have gone? Probably not. Let's say what he said. Fight the good fight of faith. How? How? Lay hold on eternal life. Speak life. And professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give you charge. This is a charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed or testified a good confession. That you keep this commandment. This is a commandment to fight the good fight of faith. We have to be good stewards of our words and our thoughts. Because we have power. You don't want to get born again and fill with the Spirit and use your power to do bad things. We need to do them to set things in order and set things straight. There's an election coming up. You need to vote for righteousness.
That's right.
Not vote. And then complain about how bad things are getting. That doesn't make any sense.
That's right.
If you don't like the candidates, let's pray a good one in.
Yeah.
Christians used to run this nation. Now some do. Most don't. What happened? Thoughts. Oh, that's not for us. Oh, that's secular. Let's move on. So this is a commandment. Let's go down to 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So you're rich, and here's what you do with it. You do good. You're rich in good works. You're ready to distribute. You're willing to share it. And in doing so, you're going to lay up in store for yourself a good foundation against the time to come. Something comes up, I got seed sown. It's interesting, he says that they may lay hold on eternal life. Well, we just read that in verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. Just keep giving by faith, keep doing right things by faith, keep... and lay hold on eternal life. Now verse 20, I'm going to read 20 and 21 out of the Amplified because I like it. It goes along with what we're saying here. O Timothy, guard and keep the deposit entrusted to you. Turn away from the irreverent babble and godless chatter with the vain and empty and worldly phrases and the subtleties and the contradictions in what is falsely called knowledge and spiritual illumination. By making such profession, some have erred, missed the mark as regards the faith. Did you catch that? Don't talk like the world. Said falsely called knowledge. Well, it might be a fact. You might see it with your eyes, but it's not necessarily true. Jesus said to the Father, your word is truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. If you got a situation going on in your life, in your body, in your community, whichever, with your children, and you speak the truth in the face of a contradiction, that's not a lie. It's not a deception. That's truth. That's the actual reality. We live from the inside out. We live from the Spirit out. The natural world's controlled by the spirit. Good?
Yes.
So when something's challenging your faith, it's a war for words and images. It's the enemy seeking to dominate your images and your words. So actively oppose anything that mocks your redemption. That's coming against your redemption, oppose it. Stand against it. Use the word of God, right?
Yes.
With the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God in your heart coming out your mouth. Speak it. And that's how you fight battles. You see it in Revelation with Jesus. He comes with a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. He even said, I'm going to fight you with the words of my mouth, with the sword of my mouth. That's how we fight.
That's right.
So you don't fight thoughts, thinking, or just, I don't want to think. You got to talk. If something's harassing your mind, say the right things out loud. And it'll just, whoosh. And if it doesn't right away, just keep saying it. Or do what we said this morning and just praise God.
Yeah.
Set your mind on something else. Now, I'm going to go to 2 Chronicles 20 and just wrap this thing up, unless you'd like me to keep going. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, what's interesting to me is that we can frustrate the enemy. We can frustrate Satan. We can confuse him even. All of his demons and all that he's trying to pull off and those weapons he's set up, we can confuse him and frustrate him and just mess with him till he just can't stand it anymore. Rather than us doing that to our domain. Don't confuse and frustrate your angels.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't speak things they can't act on. Otherwise, it's just like they're just sitting there. They got a command from God to watch over you and keep you and protect you, and you're speaking death? No. Don't do that. Let's frustrate the enemy. 2 Chronicles 20. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but if you know it, it helps make the point. So you can read it later. But the bottom line is, three nations were coming against Judah. Judah wasn't Israel. Judah was a small part of Israel. You got three nations coming against a small part of a nation. And Judah is like, what are we going to do? So they go before the Lord. They pray. They fast. They seek Him. Everyone did. Everyone. The husbands, the wives, the children, all of them. And then the Lord spoke through a prophet and gave a word of wisdom and says, this is where they're coming from and this is what you're going to do. Don't even fight. I'm going to fight for you. Just stand there and watch.
Hallelujah.
So in verse 20, we'll pick it up. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. He said, I'm going to fight for you. Just stand there and watch. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Remember established? Fixed, set, firm. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. What'd the prophets say? You believe that, you're going to prosper in that. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord for his mercy forever. So they said, we got an idea. Let's just praise him for his mercy forever. Let's just praise him for his mercy forever.
Hallelujah.
Let's just praise him for his mercy forever. His mercy, his love. He loves us forever. He loves us forever. He said he's going to fight for us. He loves us forever. His mercy forever. His mercy forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. The Lord set up an ambush. And what happened? The three nations that were rallied together to come against Judah got confused. They got confused. They started fighting each other until they were all dead. What's that? Judah's up there at the watchtower in the wilderness just praising God, watching these guys fight each other. Now just imagine that in the spirit. When you're speaking faith and praising the Lord, there's the enemy just like, ah! I had all these things planned and just dismantled. Ah! And they kill each other and they get out. So what happened after that? Verse 25. I'm going to read the Amplified. I like it. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take the spoil from the enemy, they found among them much cattle, goods, garments, precious things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry away. So much they were 3 days gathering. 3 days. That's a lot of work. 3 days. These stupid people came to fight Judah with all their wealth and all their goods. Wow. As much as they could carry. Confuse the enemy and everything he stole, take it back. Frustrate him. Don't let him get the upper hand. If he's trying to frustrate and harass you, just turn it on him.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. All right, let's stand up and confess our faith.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
If you believe it,
amen.
Decree it. I've received the abundance of grace.
I've received the abundance of grace.
And the gift of righteousness.
And I reign in life as a king.
I keep my mouth.
I keep my life.
I keep my soul from trouble.
Jesus is Lord of my mouth.
He's Lord of my life.
I am a king.
Where the word of a king is, there is power.
And the king's decree
cannot be reversed. Amen.
Amen.